Yes, good morning. I hope you're safe. I hope the Lord has kept you safe and sound. This is the day that the Lord has made. We shall rejoice and be glad in it. Thank you for joining us for our study of the Bible here. We study the Bible. We aim to study from the book of Genesis to Revelation. By the grace of the Lord, we've done 20 books of the Bible. If you've not been able to listen to the podcast that we've done straight from the book of Genesis, you can still find them on our app. That's Bible In-Depth Network. You'll be able to access them. And I believe the Lord shall speak to you as you listen. There's no limitation to revelation. God reveals His word to whoever shows the need. So, show the need and the Lord shall reveal. He will reveal His word to you. And it will speak to you. It will show you the direction. It will show you the path of life. I thank you for joining us today for our study of the word of the Lord. And today we want to continue with the book of Ecclesiastes, which we started this week. And we've done 3 chapters so far. Today I want us to continue with chapter 4. And it starts by saying, "Then I looked again and considered all the acts of oppression that were being practiced under the sun." Now Solomon is coming out to talk about oppression. Yeah, people being taken through hard times, people being taken through difficult moments, oppression. Of course, oppression comes from somebody who has a higher power. Yeah, they oppress those with no power at all, or even those with lesser power. And he says, he looked and saw and considered these acts of oppression that were done. Yeah, and behold, I saw the tears of the oppressed, and they had no one to comfort them. And on the side of their oppressors was power, but they had no one to comfort them. Of course, like it is, the oppressor always has the power, because they will limit the freedom that you have. They will know how to treat you, how best to make your life hell. And that's what he observed, and saw these people being oppressed, people who In all forms of manner, probably in food, they don't have food. Their property is being taken. Their lands are being taken. Their life is being messed up. And he witnessed all that, but there was nobody to comfort them. Of course, the oppressor can't comfort them because he gains from their poverty. He gains from their affliction. There's nobody around to comfort them. So I congratulated and thought, more fortunate are those who are already dead than the ones who are still living. The state in which he saw the oppressed, he said, it is better for you if you're not even alive. But better off than either of them is the one who has not yet been born, who has not seen the evil deeds that are under the sun. He's saying, those that are not born yet, at least they've not seen this yet. I have seen that every effort in labor and every skill in work comes from man's rivalry with his neighbor. Whenever there's conflict, yeah, and within communities, with your neighbor, yeah, effort comes in. You want to work hard. You want to show the other one that you can be greater than they are. This too is vanity, futile. It's false pride. And it's chasing after the wind. Competition is useless. Yeah? Because you want to be better than somebody else. And you work so hard. Even that is useless. It's meaningless. It's chasing after the wind, like we've seen in the previous chapters. It does not benefit eventually. You do all that for nothing. The fool folds his hands together and consumes his own flesh, destroying himself by idleness and apathy. One hand full of rest and patience is better than 2 fists full of labor and chasing after the wind. Of course, now this is an item or a subject rather spoken of patience, yeah? And being patient, taking rest, taking things slow, yeah? Than trying hard and laboring. And all in that, you're trying to achieve or compete. And you're chasing after the wind. Then I looked again at vanity under the sun. There was a certain man without a dependent, having neither a child nor a brother. Yet there was no end to all his labor. Indeed, his eyes were not satisfied with riches, and he never asked, "For whom do I labor and deprive myself of pleasure? This too is vanity." Yes, it's painful, a painful effort and an unhappy task. He's saying, there's this man, he's alone, he has no brother, he has no child, and he was working so hard. So he was looking at him and saying, with all the work that you're doing, with all the effort that you're putting, eventually who is going to take over that rich, those riches that you've gained for yourself? It's vanity. Enjoy them. Two are better than one because they have a more satisfying return for their labor. For if either of them falls, the one will lift up his companion. Yeah, of course, this goes down of yes to partnerships, but even I want to look at it in an angle of partnership in relations. When you're two, you're better. All the things you do, all the work you do shall have more value. Yeah, it's not good to be alone. That's a fact. Of course, sometimes it's because we cannot find that person. But then other times it's because it's willingness that we place and say, I don't care. I don't want to be with anybody in my life. I just want to be alone. But you cannot walk alone. You need somebody else along you. When you fall, they lift you up. It might be your spouse. When you fall, they lift you up. And if you're the spouse that never lifts up your partner, then you have to work on that, because there is a day also when you will fall and you need somebody to hold your hand and lift you up. Again, if two lie down together, they keep warm. But how can one be warm alone? Of course, this is down to partnership, relations, yeah, connection, marriage, that you're together. Yeah, you lie down together, you keep warm together. And of course, there is being in the same bed, but everyone is on a different side of the bed. You don't want to work together. You don't want to be together. You're there for the children, like we hear many say. We are still together for the children. We are still together because of the public. What will they say? That does not keep you warm. You might be in the same bed and you're not warm. Yeah? So what keeps you together is that there is that unity. There is that working together. And you love one another. You resolve your issues. All marriages have issues. All relationships have problems. But it's those that decide to work and make sure that they get a working method for their relationship. Resolve problems. Yeah, say sorry when you have to. When you've wronged the other, apologize. Ask them to forgive you and move on. It's not about pride. Because you can be in the same bed and you're not warm. It happens. You can be in the same house and it's filled with turmoil. Yeah. And though one can overpower him who is alone, two can resist him. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken. Of course, this section is talking about partnership, moving together, not being alone. But even for marriages and relationships, this does apply. Yeah. That you have to be together. A poor yet wise youth is better than an old and foolish king who no longer knows how to receive instruction or counsel. Of course, there is a point that comes where leaders do not want to hear anything. They don't want to be counseled. They don't want to get advice. They even have advisors, but they don't listen to them. All those moments do come. And for him here, he says it's better, yeah, to have a poor yet wise youth than such a leader. For the poor youth has used his wisdom and come out of prison to become a king, even though he was born poor in his kingdom. Yeah, this one has hope. He sees the future. He doesn't let the present control his future. He looks into the future and says, there is my blessing. He looks into the future and says, there is my prosperity. He looks into the future and knows with utter conviction that all will be well. That is the young person they're talking about here. We ought to know in our lives that the present state does not determine the future. We ought to know in our lives that what you're going through right now does not imply that is how your life is going to be. There is always a success story ahead. There is always God on your side, standing by you, saying, I will hold you still. I will take you to another level. I will bless you. I will prosper you. Even if you look poor, even if you've been born in a poor household, I can make you rich. I can give you a new life. I can let you take over that kingdom. That's what's happening here. This young man, born in a poor kingdom, knows and says, I'll take the throne. Has conviction, I'll take the throne. I'll be the best that there is. I'll be the best in the business that God has given me. I'll be the best in my workplace, in the work that I do. I'll be the best. I'll be prosperous. Nothing will determine my life. My future is determined by God. My past experiences, the things that I've gone through in life, do not imply that that is how my life is going to look like. Yeah, I have seen all the living under the sun join with the second youth. That is the king's successor, that boy who was poor, who replaces the king. There is no end to all the people, to all who are before them. Yet those who come later will not be happy with him. Surety, surely, this also is vanity, emptiness, and chasing after the wind. That's what he says. Chapter 5, guard your steps and focus on what you are doing as you go to the house of God and draw near to listen rather than to offer the careless sacrifice of fools, for they are too ignorant to know that they are doing evil. The moment you start doing evil, the moment you live in a wicked way, in a life that does not honor God, and you even fail to realize it, then that is trouble. It's like a point where you've gone and you cannot return. Point of no return. The moment that piece of acknowledgement or awareness goes out of your life, that you do not get aware of the things that you do, you don't get aware of the wickedness in your life, that you wrong people and you don't even see that there is a problem. You wrong people and you blame them for what has happened to them. Then there is trouble. Do not be hasty with your mouth. Yeah, of course, you're saying speaking careless words, giving vows, careless vows. Yeah, I will marry you, yet you will not. Yeah, I'll give this, yet you will not. I'll pay this your fees, yet you know you will not. Don't be careless with your mouth. All impulsive in thought to bring up a matter before God here. Of course, even to the Lord. Yeah, we do it to men, fellow men, but even to God himself. Careless with vows. Yeah, I will contribute this to build this church. Who has asked you to speak? Go get it, bring it. Don't just be careless with your words. Because eventually, if you do not give it, you are careless with your words with God. Vows to God, yeah? Be careful, even in thought, before you bring that matter, even before God. Think about it, that you're praying for something, and you speak to the Lord, yet you know the intentions are wrong. Be careful about that which you speak, for God is in heaven and you're on earth. Therefore, let your words be few. You know, we go through things in life. We go through experiences in life. And then, you're talking to God, and sometimes you're attacking him. Why is it that I'm like this? How come you've blessed so and for me you've left me like this? Which sort of God are you? Why can you do this to me? Do you even love me? Be careful with the words. Let your words be few. He's in heaven. You're on earth. Let your words be few. For the dream comes through much effort and the voice of the fool through many words. When you speak too much, you err. When you make a vow or a pledge to God, do not put off paying it, for God takes no pleasure in fools, those who thoughtlessly mock him. Pay what you vow. It is better that you should not vow than that you should vow and not pay. We love to pledge and vow and say, I'll do this, I'll do that. But guess what? If you don't make that vow, it's not a bad thing. It's not sin. The problem is when you make the vow and you don't fulfill it. So I need to be careful on the vows that I make. If I make it, then I better fulfill it. Because he's in heaven, I'm on earth. And I've made it. And someone may ask, me, I don't make vows to God, I make them to men. But even to men, when you're speaking to them, God is hearing, is listening. You're promising something, fulfill it. Otherwise, it's better you keep quiet and know in your heart that I want to give this sort of contribution. Let me go get it and come and give it. Than for you to rise up and speak with your mouth that you'll do it and then you don't show up because you've failed to fulfill it. Yeah. Do not allow your speech to cause you to sin. And do not say before the messenger of God or a priest that it was a mistake. Why should God be angry? Because of your voice, your own words, and destroy the works of your hands. Why should you let God? Because of your own mouth. Friends, we need to control the things we say, the words we say. They cause us much trouble. For in a multitude of dreams and in a flood of words, there is worthlessness. Rather, fear God and worship him with respect, knowing who he is. If you see the oppression of the poor and the denial of justice and righteousness in the province, do not be shocked at the sight of corruption, for a higher official watches over another official, and there are higher ones over them looking out for another. After all, a king who cultivates the field is an advantage to the land. He who loves money will not be satisfied with money, nor he who loves abundance with its gain. This too is vanity. This too is meaningless. This too is emptiness. Can you ever be satisfied with money? Can you ever get money and you say, now I have reached the peak? Otherwise, we would see the richest and the wealthiest stopping work. It's because the more you get, the more you want. And he says it's emptiness. When good things increase, those who consume them increase. This I know for a fact. That whenever you increase, if you were earning 200,000 shillings, your problems and the people who are consuming it were worth 200,000. When you rise to 500,000, then the problems and the things and those who consume also rise to 500,000. Well, whichever achievement you achieve, even those who consume increase. So you are hopeful. You say, the day I start earning 2 million, I think I'll be the happiest. I'll have a lot to spare. But when you get to the 2 million, then problems, worth, or responsibilities, they may not even be problems, but responsibilities. Your siblings, your friends, the poor, those God has placed on your heart, also come. And before you know it, the 2 million is not enough. That's the issue. You can never be satisfied. You can never get enough. It can never be enough. So sometimes I might look and say, if I get this margin, then I will be safe. I may even be swindling money or being unfair at work, stealing money from there. And say, the day I achieve this amount, I'll stop. You cannot, because you will never be satisfied. Yeah? But for good things, when they increase, when prosperity comes, even those who consume it come. So what advantage is there to their owners except to see them with their eyes? It's all vanity. It can never be enough. The sleep of a working man is sweet, whether he eats little or much, but the full stomach, greed of the rich, will not let them sleep. Yeah, you keep working hard. You keep doing all that you have to do, even if it is in unusual means, to make it in life, to fill that pot of riches. It cannot be enough. Yeah. Even as you increase, like we've seen in verse 11, those who consume that which you've increased on all that which has been added unto you shall increase. I remember when my mother, when we finished school, we were six at home, and she was a single mother and paid fees for everybody, and we started. I remember she said when she was done with the last person in school, she felt, oh, now I think I can have money on me. But somehow, it would happen that after the person has finished, that increase also comes to a halt. Because many times we think that when we have much, then we've sorted the future. But God provides for you day by day. God provides for you as per the need you have. So it's not about the piling of riches and the piling of wealth and saying, I am safeguarding the future. No. God will provide for you day by day. Believe in Him. Don't get out to do unjust things because you're looking for a way of gaining wealth and having a good life. No. Let the Lord take care of it. He will give you at the right time. He will provide for you in the right way, in the right manner. Yeah, there is a grievous evil which I have seen under the sun, riches being kept and hoarded by their owner to his own misery. Now, they are talking about hoarding, keeping things, storing things. Yeah, and it may not just be about riches, but which things do I hoard? Which things do I keep? Which things do I store? That there are even people who need them, but I keep them. Yeah? When I have 20 pairs of shoes, and there are shoes I take even a whole year without putting on, but I keep it. When I have a closet full of clothes that I have not put on for over a year, and I keep them, and molds grow on them, and you're hoarding because you want to have it. But here we are told, it is your own misery. Because you will come back when they are spoiled. Yeah? When they are messed up. When they've grown molds. To your own misery. Hoarding riches. Yeah? You keep and keep and keep. Even when there are those in need, you don't look to them to help them. For when those riches are lost in bad investments, and he becomes the father of a son, then there is nothing in his hand for the support of the child. Yeah? Of course, here he comes out and says you may even invest it and it dies there. Because of that hoarding spirit, never wanting to help others, and it will not benefit you. As he came naked from his mother's womb, so he will return as he came. And he will take away nothing from all his labor that he can carry in his hand. The day we die, we go with nothing. Even if you had so much land, they will put you or bury you in the smallest of places. Even if you had so many clothes, they will put on one pair for you. There is nothing that you do and own and have achieved that you will go with. That's why sometimes we kill each other, we hate each other, we bring so much trouble to each other in this life. Yet all that we are working for, we will leave it here. We are not taking it anywhere. It is going to remain here. Wrangles get up, but we are fighting for things that we are going to leave here. It does not matter. Friends, it's better for me to work on relations. It's better for me to work on getting alongside with people and having fun and talking well and having this relation and having this connection and rejoicing together, growing friends, growing people, than to work hard thinking I will go with those things. You will not. You will leave them here. Yeah. This is a grievous evil. Exactly as he was born, so he shall die. You came with nothing. You live with nothing. So what advantage has he who labors for the wind? All of his life, he also eats in darkness. Yeah? Cheerlessly, without sweetness and light, with frustration, sickness, and anger. Have you ever seen someone who has a lot, of money, or so much riches and wealth, but they don't enjoy life. They're always miserable. They're never happy. They're always angry. They cannot even get a moment to enjoy that which they have made, the wealth they've made, the money they've made. They cannot. Yeah? And he says, behold, here it is what I have seen to be good and fitting. And he says, to eat and drink. Yeah? Then, to find enjoyment in all the labor in which he labors under the sun during the days of his life, which God gives him. For this is his allotted reward. Also, every man to whom God has given riches and possession, he has also given the power and ability to enjoy them and to receive his allotted portion, to rejoice in his labor and the gift of God. If God has blessed you, if God has given you work to do, he also gives you the ability to enjoy that which he has given to you. It's a gift from God to be able to even enjoy that which God has given you. For he will not often consider the days of his life, because God keeps him occupied and focused on the joy of his heart, and the tranquility of God indwells in him. All in all, we need the Lord. Even for our work, even for the things we've achieved, we need the Lord. We need him to hold us together. We need him to give us the joy. We need him to even enable us to enjoy of the things we make. Help us, give us the right attitude to work well, work in the right manner, do the right thing, and also consider others at all times. We shall close from there today. We pray. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your grace. We pray and ask you to stand with us, to walk with us, to be with us at all times. And Lord, I pray that you strengthen us, heal the sick, heal the brokenhearted, heal the wounded, give strength through the weak, to those who have no hope, give hope, restore life. And Lord, may we always proclaim of your glory and your goodness. With you we have everything, with you we have hope for the future. And Lord, we pray for a blessing upon our lives today. May you prosper us in all things. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.